this is Ben Gillette. Happy Columbus Day.
Woo-hoo.
I'm sitting with Michael Goodell. It's a big Columbus Day show. And as you know, every year on Columbus Day, we do a very special... No, we haven't. We've never been on the air on Columbus Day before. Otherwise, we'd have notes as to what to do. But I think I want to talk about, you know, Columbus is this nutty thing. I mean, even before our buddy Grey Wolf in, what's he from, Ballmer?
I don't know where he's
I think
from.
So. He's called in a few times. He called in to trash Columbus. There's an article on the web that calls Columbus the first illegal alien. Which is funny, and the holiday's really gone down the tubes, hasn't it? I mean,
that was to have it off.
Even when I was a kid, that was a big holiday. Now, your kids are in school.
My kids are in school today.
Yeah, 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. Teller is a big, we talked about this on Friday, big defender of Columbus. He likes Columbus a lot.
It's not to like.
Yeah, he's a good guy. You know, he's a political. Although he died like a freak. I mean, I don't mean that his way of dying was freakish. He wasn't, you know, tied to a bed in a Batman suit with mayonnaise, but, which is incidentally is the way that, I may die. I'm Batman. He died, he used to wear, this is from Wikipedia. While Columbus had always given the conversion of non-believers as one reason for his exploration. See, that's where we separate with the whole cult of digging Columbus. He was going there to spread the religious virus. He grew increasingly religious in his later years. He claimed to hear divine voices, lobbied for a new crusade to capture Jerusalem, often wore a Franciscan habit. That's pretty sexy. I mean, stupid. And described his explorations to the paradise as part of God's plan, which would soon result in the last judgment and the end of the world. In later years, Columbus demanded that the Spanish crown give him 10% of all profits made in the new lands. Wow. That's still in effect. He's got a big hunk. 10%.
If only it were. You know, he's buried in Santo Domingo, which is the island of Haiti. It half is Haiti, the other half is Dominican Republic, and it's the poorest nation I think in the world.
They've moved his bones around.
Yeah,
they buried him, then they dug him up, and they moved his bones to the New World. 866-570-PEN 7366. It seems for Christ's sake that Columbus used to have in 1842. 1892. They had a huge celebration in the U.S. I mean, all of the Americas went bug nutty. And this is also one of those holidays, you know, Thanksgiving, you have that jive-ass Canadian Thanksgiving. It's like, you don't have a Thanksgiving, shut up. But they have it a different day and stuff. And, you know, 4th of July, those kind of holidays, they move all around the world. But Columbus Day is celebrated in Spain, Portugal, a lot of South America. And it seems like Columbus is getting a bum rap now. He's just very, very unpopular. Of course, you know, with the Native Americans, I guess, what do they think would be happening if Columbus hadn't come along? Do they think they would have been isolated from the world forever? Do they think that in, you know, 2006, we'd all be living in Europe and there'd still be this place with, you know, 20 buffalo and
jets would fly over every now and then? They'd go, what's that? No, I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know.
It seems like the cultures had a mix, and the cultures still are mixing. That's just part of this. 866-570-PEN 7366. While we're waiting for calls on Columbus, which may not come, no one may care about Columbus at all. I mean, we can't even get a call into a radio show about Columbus. Pro or con? Not even somebody calling up and saying they hate Columbus. We'll wait for a decent call. I want to talk about... I was trying to corrupt the Disney people last night. I was really doing my best. Godot and your whole family, yep. Teresa, Joey, and Emily Peach, and my wife and Moxie. We didn't bring Zoltan because he's only 4 months old, and also he's too big to get in the building. We went to see Disney Magic Mickey Disney. Oh, not on ice, right?
What was not it? On ice.
What was the name of the show? Magical?
Disney Magic. I don't know. Disney Magic's the name of their
Disney
ship.
Disney Magic.
No, I don't know what the name of the show was. The Magic of Disney. Disney Magic. And the Magic.
Yeah, I know that the first part was Disney! Exclamation point.
And there was
we
magic
went to see that show, and Moxie, who's 15 months old, faced the stage a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And she was kind of watching. And your kids loved it, right?
My kids just loved it. Man, my daughter like leaned up against me like I was the greatest dad in the world for taking her.
There you go.
She did.
There you go.
It was great.
There you go. paying $12
for a bargain.
Hat. $12 yeah. bucks for a hat.
Came with popcorn.
Popcorn, yeah.
No, no, came with cotton candy.
Yeah.
Cotton candy and a hat.
Cotton candy and a hat for $12.
I don't know how they can afford to do that. It's just, they're like giving it away.
Well, you know, Disney's made so much money that they feel they should give some back to the community.
Yeah.
So they're selling a little...
Yeah, half a cup of
felt.
Cotton candy and a felt hat for $12.
Felt piece of crap hat for $12. I don't know how people afford to go see the Disney thing. You know, I don't know how. I mean, we get in free. That's how we afforded it.
Yes,
because
yeah.
we're jacked in. But like, you know, what's it, $75 a ticket?
It was a lot for a good ticket.
There are people that bring like two kids, and then you got the hat and the popcorn. Popcorn.
You're talking maybe $300-$400 for your family to go.
The popcorn, I believe, was 10 cents a kernel. It was $5
for the tiny
very
box.
Little box. Very little, I would say about 10 cents.
Why are we complaining about the money we spent at the Disney show? We got in for free. We met the guys backstage.
Absolutely.
It was a fine time. Was had by
our
all.
Kids loved it.
Our kids loved
and
it.
And we're complaining. You can't be slimier than that, can you? It's all very worth it. It was a wonderful experience for the kids. Then they came to our show Sunday night.
Yeah, I was supposed to. Say
and our show has a different sensibility than the Disney show because our show has, I think, 75. Goddams. I say goddamn like 75 times in the show. And the Disney show, like 5 times maximum. They said goddamn during the. Oh, goddamn it, Minnie! And then there was other stuff. And they came to the show and they weren't allowed to tell me who they were when we were backstage. Remember that? Remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
That very, that very
an odd moment. Hi, what are you doing in the show?
She's all sweaty
pop the
and stuff.
Dents in her shoulders.
And then when they came backstage to our show, and Teller wouldn't tell them who he was. Payback's a bitch, isn't it, Belle? And they talked about how they switched off the people that play. I didn't know the fairy godmother was the same as Alice. Did you?
I didn't realize that.
You're not supposed to know that. Not supposed to know that. But they talked about it. We talked very freely, and I talked about how I sat with the original woman who did Snow White because I did a voice in. I'm in Toy Story, but I also did a voice. In a Mickey Mouse cartoon, there's evil Pluto. Pluto the dog
mm-hmm.
has an evil angel and a good angel. I guess devil. Devil Pluto and angel Pluto. And angel Pluto is Eric Idle. And devil Pluto is me. So I went to a studio and I had to record all this stuff. And I was sitting with the woman who was originally Snow White and still does Snow White. She's the perfect voice. And she has built-in shtick. Because she goes like, all 7 of you little men want to do what? That's my impersonation of Snow White. But she has all this like...
Now we know why you're not doing Snow White.
She has all this sex shtick she does. She does sex shtick.
Are you ruining her job for her? Is she going to lose her gig over this?
Maybe. I hope not. That was a while ago. And but we were in. This is in private life that would not in any way become public. This was
no,
just,
of course not.
She was talking to someone who was
she would never expect that you would have a national radio
and
show.
And I was the one who was doing most of the swearing. But I gave all the Disney people, you'll like this, all the seasons, all 1, 2, and 3, I gave them of Bull's hit. And so they'll have that on the Disney bus. They'll be riding along with Bull's hit. And we also gave them... The Aristocrats. So I gave the Disney
Isn't
boys.
Isn't that like I aming pages? How old are these guys? I don't believe any of them are old enough that you can give them a copy of The Aristocrats.
When did you know, Godot? Who knew and when? When did you know that
this
I was
giving...
This is
the first time hearing of you giving them The Aristocrats, I want to point out.
I gave them DVDs of The Aristocrats. They look about 12, all the Disney people.
They do.
But I don't think they're that. I think we've just gotten so old that people seem younger to us now. I think that's the issue. But thank you very much to the Disney people. And it was a good deal. I think if you're going to go... I feel really guilty now about...
whining
talking
about it?
Talking about the price. I'm just saying the people were going there, and people have a lot more money than I think they do. I guess that's what I was saying. And that's good. That's good. All these people... It was filled up. It was filled to the rafters.
With cheering children.
Cheering children.
Cheering happy children. And you know, the big deal, of course, was that the mouths moved.
Yeah, the mouths moved and the eyes blink. But not when they do personal appearances. They have separate heads that they have for personal appearances because the servos are too loud. on every time they blink, which is a problem we've had in the Penn and Teller show. His Teller servos are really loud when he moves around. So, and we talked a lot about monkeys because they all worked. I had circus backgrounds. They talk a lot about monkeys, and I told them
we Disney Monkey Tuesday. Can we get them to call in?
maybe we could. Actually, there was a guy there that said he trained 9 capuchin monkeys. But wait a minute, tomorrow is Monkey Tuesday. Not today. Today is Columbus Day. It's a round, round world. It's a round, round world. I insist it's round and it's going to be found when all the results are in. It's a round world now and it's always
flat, flat world. It's a flat, flat world. I insist it's flat as a welcoming mat and we're sailing off the end. How about our crazy Italian
friend, get hip. When I climb aboard this ship, if I do, that's Stan Freeberg's from the United States of America.
I thought we could do the whole thing there for a sec.
It was
going much longer than
Michael
I thought it
Michael
Goudreau
playing King Ferdinand. Man,
yep.
And that was Penn Jillette as Christopher Columbus. Let's talk to Anthony. Anthony, you got something to say for Christ's sake?
Yes, I do. Check it out. I'm an Italian American, if you want to call me that. My family's been in this country 100 years.
Uh-huh.
I think Italians do it to themselves, and I'll explain it to you. Check it out. You could stereotype everybody on TV. Let me back. Okay.
That's
Italians
it.
Get stereotyped on TV. They're either Joey from Friends, idiots, or they're Fonzie, or they're like the mafia guy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll never see an Italian president on any show. You'll never see an Italian head doctor on ER. And I think that Italians just get away with that, and they just, like, whatever, they don't care about it, and that's why Columbus Day is just like, whatever, who cares about it? Like, seriously, people make more of a fuss over St. Patrick's Day than Columbus Day, and I think that it's, and I'm Italian, and I hate to see it, but that's, Italians love the fact that they're mafia, and that they're the cool guy, and they don't understand what I'm saying?
I know, exactly what you're saying, but the thing is, you've been in, your family's been in this country for 100 years, you still consider yourself Italian-American?
No, but that's what I'm looked at. This is a whole other thing. I mean, I live up in upstate New York, LaGrange, but I work down in the Bronx. I repair elevators. And in the Bronx, I'm white, but I'm up in LaGrange, I'm Italian or I'm Spanish or I'm everything else. So I could never be white. I wish I knew what an Italian was. Am I white? Even my wife, about a year ago, was reading Cosmo, an article about Latino men, and it said Italian men. I'm like, what? I'm European. How am I Latino? Nothing against Latino. Nothing against anybody. But it's just, what is an Italian? Am I Latino or am I white? Upstate, I'm obviously not good enough to go to wine tasting and apple orchards and harvest festivals. I'm looked down as, even though I got an MG. But down in the Bronx, I'm always going to be white. I don't know.
Beautifully put. That was just a wonderful little rant. I have nothing to add to that. Do you know?
That was beautiful.
See, the thing is, at least you have a nationality. You see,
That's true.
I come from a generation after generation of sailors who will have sex with anything. So I am part sheep. I mean, there is no nationality that, you know, my mother used to say, you can't make fun of any nationality because you're it. And the predominant thing I have is Newfoundlandish, you know. So there's really... You can't. How are Newfoundlanders portrayed on television? Are there any doctors in ER? No. We're not even mafia. We're just known as big dogs with booze around our neck. That's all Newfoundland. And what the hell are you? You're like
Cajun.
Cajun, yeah.
So I'm Newfoundlander through Louisiana.
Yeah, Newfoundland through Louisiana. So at least you've got some sort of heritage. And I just hope that the whole heritage of everybody just kind of falls away. That's what I'm going for, is just when that falls away. But to me, you can be Italian if you want. Do you make good spaghetti sauce?
To be honest with you, no, I don't.
Good.
And
good. So you're breaking the stereotype.
Oh, I don't make tomato sauce. I don't watch Sopranos, and I've never seen The Godfather 3.
And have you ever? Well, Godfather 3, nobody saw. Did you ever? You saw 1 and 2, right?
Yeah, 1 and 2, yeah. And I could quote Goodfellas, upside down.
You don't get any credit whatsoever for not seeing Godfather 3.
Okay, good.
You get no credit for that. Have you ever beaten anybody up?
Yeah, I guess so.
So you ever worn a leather jacket?
Yes, yes.
Okay, okay. So the stereotypes are coming together. You might be Italian. We could do a whole Jeff Foxworthy thing.
You know? Might be Italian, yeah.
Right.
You might be Italian.
Right. If you've ever cut yourself and tomato sauce has come out, you might be Italian.
he's doing a southern accent, too. Boy, yeah, this is so postmodern. This is so postmodern about it. Thank you so much. And Anthony, they call you Tony Aitone.
No, it's just Anthony, because everybody in my neighborhood was Tony. Thanks. Love you guys.
Okay, thanks a lot. Thanks, Tony. He's getting while the getting's good. He's getting while the getting's good.
Who can blame him?
Let's talk to Vern. How you doing, Vern?
Hey, been a while, guys. It's the first time I ever called in. Glad to get through.
Oh, good. Thanks. Hi.
Yeah, I am actually a bit of a history buff when it comes to the stuff that people don't teach you in school. Mm-hmm. And Columbus was, first of all, I hate to rain on the Italians parade because I am part Italian-American. He wasn't Italian.
Yeah, Portuguese, yeah.
Right, Portuguese. And when he lied about the distance to the United States of America,
oh,
he knew how far it would be.
Yeah,
he knew how far it would be. He lied to get that. And I think most people have learned now that the Earth was round and everyone thought it was round when he did his thing.
But, well, actually, that's not true. There was still a lot of debate. I mean, mostly from the religious circles. Many people didn't think it was round. And, you know, when Neil Armstrong went to the moon, they told him it was going to be like 20 minutes. They said, 20 minutes and there'll be a rest stop. You'll be fine. So they lied to Neil Armstrong, too. They said
it was 20 minutes to drive to the studio where they did the shooting of the moon.
Oh, are you one of the people that don't believe in the moon landing?
I am very skeptical. I've seen the shows here and there, and I think we got to the moon eventually. I don't know if we did when we said we did. And the last thing
about Columbus, my friend.
Your credibility just goes to hell. Once you say you're not sure we landed on the moon, once you say that, all the credit. But let's just put a big parentheses. We'll put all this in italics. Now tell us about Columbus.
Okay, the last thing about Columbus that kind of irks me is how he made a promise to anyone who saw the new land first that they would be get a cut of the money. And there was a guy sitting up in the crow's nest who saw it first. Columbus happened to say he saw it first and cut this guy out of all his money. And just kind of, and then of course you guys were talking earlier about the spread of civilized society, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's all BS. We all know that. He went there and started digging for gold and it brought back slaves. That's just pretty much it. I think if Peter Columbus gets this wrapped away, you know, he's one of these Washington figures and Pocahontas where people learn these stories about him and they think it's true. But you learn the real story about it, it makes him more of a person and it actually makes what he did a little bit more, you know, respectable, I guess. You know, the fact that he actually did it, he wasn't this person he talks about being the person that goes down in history. I think the idea that regular people can do things is a little bit more empowering to students when they read about it than hearing about some hero figure who did this courageous thing.
You kind of just brought yourself around from nothing.
You pulled it right out.
Pulled it right out there. Thank you so much, Vern. He kind of did a bait and switch there, didn't he?
He did.
He was called up trashing Columbus and ended up with this inspirational thing about how we all can do that. You don't think I got the Disney people fired, do you?
I don't know. Okay,
I was kind of eating away at the back of my mind. We're talking about, well, as you can tell, several people who've called here said, I've never been able to get through before. And that's because people aren't calling as much. So you can call in. Really, we're taking calls on almost anything today. 866-570-7366. And we'll be back after this. It's a round, round world. Yeah, this is Ben Gillette on the Free FM, CBS Radio, with Michael Godeau here. I guess we're kind of talking about Columbus. We also talked a lot about Disney. 866-570-PEN. And I don't know how those tie in together. Oh, yo ho and a dram, a mean we are loyal. Subject of the king and queen. But what kind of nut would you have to be to charter a ship and pull out to sea when you don't know what's on the other? 866-570-PEN, 7366. And I guess we're tying in Disney with Columbus because Columbus was very useful in bringing tobacco back to Europe. And, of course, Walt Disney smoked, I think, what, 4 packs a day of Pall Mall?
That was a lot, yeah.
Disney was a big, big smoker. And my wife writes in and says, if you're going to talk about the Disney show, don't forget that one of the women had their top fall off during the show. Which, during the show we were at.
We should point out that it was not during the show.
Well, the show we were at was perfect.
Or we would be talking about nothing else.
We should have, you know, we should do kind of a, like a Breast Thursday and, and just talk about cases where people's, tops have fallen off in public. That would be a fabulous show. And then the woman at the monkey place with the monkey that bit off the end of her breast, yeah. She could be on both shows. We do it like it'd be like when, remember when like Law and Order, when they cross over, when Special Victims crosses over to plain vanilla Law and Order.
Flintstones are on the Jetsons.
Exactly. Were the Flintstones on the Jetsons?
No.
But that would have been cool.
That would be good.
There should be time travel or something, right? Put them on the Jetsons. I was all excited. Speaking of Jetsons, we're talking about Christopher Columbus and having a horrible time staying on the subject. 866-570-PEN-7366. I think about, you know, there's something about when you go to Disneyland, you've been to Disney World, right?
Yes.
When you go to Disney World, after you've been to Disney World for 2 days, you have to go to the dirtiest strip club that exists. You want to go to, like, you know, 2-for-1, $5 lap dances, and you want to go in a really bad neighborhood. I mean, after that, you want to have, you know, violent sex with a nun after you've been to Disneyland for a while. And that's why I think that... a top falling off during a Disney show is just so, you know, because it's so crystal clean and squeaky and everything, and so much for the kids. And a top falling off during that, I mean, that is so much sexier than hardcore porn because of context. Context is everything. And speaking of context is everything, let's talk to Tom. What's up, Tom?
Hey, what's up, guys?
We're talking about Columbus, kind of, sort of. What do you got to say?
I'm all for Breast Thursday.
Thanks for calling by.
I just want to say that Columbus is the first instance of an American being promoted for making a mistake.
Well, you know, he died thinking that he was still found a route to Asia. He never
really?
he never knew that it was a different continent. Isn't that right?
Yep.
He died not knowing. He just thought he found a cool part of Asia.
Yeah.
I feel like we haven't changed much in 500 years with like military leaders getting fired and then getting medals of honor. Nothing's changed.
Well, in show business, you know, you do a huge flop movie and you get to do another bigger movie. It's people do fail upward a lot. I guess he was the first one to do it. Although, you know, he did some cool stuff. You know, his entire crew were prisoners. They were convicted prisoners that were told that if they went on this crazy mission, that they would get their freedom after that.
So the boat was filled with mistakes then.
Yes, it was. Exactly, it was. Right. There was nobody on that boat. It just went for pure reasons. So,
thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot. That's not helpful.
You know, he's also way wrong about his math. He thought he was going to, you know, it's only take a few days, really.
How long did it take?
Well, it's like a 70, something like a 60 or 70 days.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
On a boat, on a prison.
Without seeing anything.
Without seeing anything. Man, that is hell. That is hell. And how long did they tell him the alarm sound was going to be? Just another 25 minutes, Neil. You're almost there. Be there really, really soon. Let's talk to Ron. What's up, Ron?
Hey, how you doing, Ben?
I've never been better, boss. How are you?
All right. Now, listen, I'm half Italian, okay, and I'm half Native American.
Really?
Now I'm just wondering. Now,
so
this guy comes...
if we want to talk about self-discovery, you're the one to talk to.
You're talking about a crazy crew. What did this guy come over here and, like, just have his way with all the Indians? Is what happened?
No, actually, he thought he was finding a trade route to Asia. That's what he thought he was doing. I don't think that he wanted to have sex with all the Indians, although I guess you're proof of that. What tribe? Was it mother or father that were Native American?
Well, it was my mother, so that's why I'm thinking. I mean, the Italians came over and did this thing. You know, I'm a product of this, and Thanksgiving was confusing. I mean, the Indians, we got everything taken from us. They bought Manhattan for $24, and the Italians took it. So, you know... I don't know whether to be thankful for being Italian, you know, or upset that I was Indian.
Your mother was full-blooded Native American?
Yes.
How great is that? How'd your mom and dad meet?
Oh, jeez. I think they met around somewhere in Brooklyn, and it was years ago. Since, my gosh, 1920s. I'm 52 years old.
Wow. That's a, yeah. That's a great, great thing. That's a wonderful thing. It must be fun. Boy, you get a lot of jokes there with half Italian and half Indian, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a big day.
So you go, hi, how are you? Hi, how are how you doing? Is that what you do? How you doing?
That's it. Then we whack them.
We whack them. Okay, thanks, Tom. Ron. That was Ron. I'm sorry. That was Ron. Please forgive me. That was Ron. How, you know, if you're going to be half Native American and half Italian, someone should at least get your name right. Don't you think they should?
You've already had enough problems, yeah.
I think it's pretty cool. I think it's pretty cool. See, I have trace amounts of every nationality, so it doesn't. Trace amounts don't help at all. There's no jokes, no nothing. Let's talk to. Have you noticed one thing we've had? I'm looking at the list of names of people that are waiting on hold, and no women give a good goddamn about Columbus. But that's pretty general in our show. You know, our show, we don't get a lot of women callers, but when we do, aren't they great?
They're spectacular.
The female page who's into bondage, remember, all this show are the really the top tier women possible, but they don't call that often. But when they do, it's always very, very exciting. Let's talk to this. I want to take a call that we care. Hey, Pat, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Very well, thanks. What's up?
Well, first of all, number one, the Jetsons did meet the Flintstones, although it wasn't on the actual show. It was a special.
Uh-huh. What was it called?
I don't know. I think it was called the Flintstones.
Don't say I don't know with that. Wait, hold the phone. You cannot say I don't know with that kind of disgust, like it's a stupid question, after you call up and tell us that you know that the Jetsons made the Flintstones.
Well, I saw
do not use that tone of voice on us, young man.
I'm very sorry. Okay. I believe it was just called the Flintstones Meet the Jetsons, or the Jetsons Meet the Flintstones.
The Jetsons Meet the Flintstones, 1987.
There you go. It wasn't, you know, a time travel kind of thing, obviously.
Obviously.
How else did that happen?
And I guess it was the Jetsons that went back to the Flintstones, or did the Jetsons bring the Flintstones into the future?
A combination of both. Where, you know, I've seen it and once, and like I somehow Fred Flintstone ended up pretending to be, I don't know, George Jetson's brother for a bowling tournament or something like that, you know. It was, what can you say? It was Hanna-Barbera. Yeah,
while Elroy is busy working on a time machine, George is ordered to come to Mr. Spacely's office for a discussion. This is, I have the plot here.
Okay, good.
There you go.
Read it out for us. We're all curious.
Mr. Spacely orders, let's see, where's the, actually, I can't find the part. It's pretty complex, really. It's not just some stumble onto it thing.
No, this is Ulysses. This is complex.
The stories are apparently pretty complex before they meet.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what else you had to say there, Pat?
Well, only that I personally prefer the Bugs Bunny Columbus meeting to anything done by Disney.
And what is the Bugs Bunny Columbus?
Well, for one thing, Bugs Bunny proves that the world is round by throwing a baseball to the east, and it comes back and he catches it in the mid a couple of seconds later from the west, and it's covered with, you know,
stickers.
Bumper stickers from Brooklyn, you know, all those places. So and then they do it, and then they have a great song. Of course, he has a great song and dance number where he sings Columbus was the discoverer of America when he sailed the sea in 1492, and the good Queen Isabella gave some jewelry to her fellow so Columbus could sail across the ocean blue or something like that.
We could change this whole show to just people calling up and singing songs they half remember about Columbus. That'd be really good. So thanks a lot, Pat.
You bet.
Thank you so much. You know, whenever we mention any sort of cartoon or thing like that, people just get right on it. You know, let's talk to Mike. What's up, Mike?
Hey, brother. What's going on?
Oh, nothing much, man. It's Columbus Day. We're celebrating here with a cup of tea. How you doing?
It's all right. It's Wilson, by the way.
Wilson? Listen. Hi. It's Mike Wilson. How you doing, man?
Yeah, good. Listen, first of all, I just want to publicly congratulate you. Speaking of topless women in pure shows, I wanted to congratulate you publicly on Love Tapes. It's just
thanks.
Beautiful. Just
thanks.
Wonderful.
This is Mike Wilson, who's from Minnesota and saw my play there and also did Michael Moore Hates America. And you're working on another movie now, right?
Yeah, working on another little documentary. So I think
can you talk about what that is?
Yeah, vaguely. It's about gas and oil prices. And I think we're going to kind of tell the truth about how it really works for once, because you have so many conspiracy theories and stuff out there. And usually it's Occam's razor, right?
Yeah, sure.
Simplest explanation is usually correct, so I'm going to kind of go at it with that and have a little fun with it. So,
cool. What'd you call for?
Well, I'm calling because, you know what, we didn't go to the moon because we thought it would be cool, right? We went there because we wanted to show our superiority over the Soviets.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the reason that, you know, explorers through history, Columbus included, get a bad rap is because they didn't maybe didn't go to the New World for, you know, the purest reasons. They went there for gold, or they went there, you know, to find the quickest route to make more money. And then they did bad things that were, you know, socially acceptable back then, like bringing back slaves and tobacco and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we lose sight of those achievements, man. You know, I mean, Columbus stumbling over here was huge. I mean, look at the world today and how it would be different if he hadn't done that at that moment, you know.
We had one person call up and just say that, you know, that he did, you know, he was a man, he did have all these faults, but he did do a wonderful thing. And that's essentially your point, right?
Yeah, of course. You know, I mean, I think people are people, and especially when we start looking at diversity and trying to manufacture diversity and equality and stuff like that, you know, we look for any fault we can find in somebody who might have done something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I think ultimately his achievement really just overpowers, you know, the things that he did that were wrong, you know?
Yeah, being on the ocean with a bunch of criminals for 70 days is hard enough for me. I would never do that.
Me neither. No,
so he's a better man than we are. Anything else, Mike?
No, that's it, man.
I got to go to commercial, everybody. Thanks a lot, Mike. Thanks for calling. Yeah, that's Mike Wilson. I love Mike Wilson. Did you see the movie Michael Moore Hates America?
I did not.
I was in it!
That's probably why I didn't see it.
Okay, probably. We're going to be back after this. 866-570-PAN 7366. It's a good movie, Michael Moore Hates America.
Are the Flintstones in it?
Yeah, this is Penn Jillette on the big free FM, CBS, 866-570-PEN, that's 7366, if you don't have the letters on your phone. You can write Gmails to penradio@gmail.com. You can go to the website, penradio.com. That's two N's in Penn there. And, we had a very quick note from Candace, who says, as far as breast day, nah, it's got to be Mammary Monday, don't you think? Mammary Monday's a good idea. We'll do one of those. If people write to us and say there's enough breast stories, we'll do we can do that, right? We can do a Mammary Monday. A whole day of breast stories. We'll do that maybe next Monday, maybe the Monday after. We'll have a Mammary Monday for Candace. We'll only do it if Candace sends us a picture. If Candace sends us a picture, we'll do a Mammary Monday. We're talking about Columbus. We got a really nice letter here, and I don't think this is the point of view that I agree with, but it's so well stated that I think I'm going to read the whole thing. We are Asananabe Indians.
She's missing an N.
We are Asananabe.
Anishinaabe.
Anishinaabe?
Yeah.
But it's just written wrong.
She just wrote it wrong. She typed it. Missed typo.
Anishinaabe?
Yeah.
Is that right? Did I say it right?
Anishinaabe.
Anishinaabe?
Yeah.
Anishinaabe.
Yeah.
Anishinaabe.
Third largest Indian tribe in North America?
Yeah. Also known as the Chippewa. Is that right?
No. Maybe.
She says, also known as the Chippewa.
Well, that doesn't show up here.
Doesn't show up there?
Yeah, it is. And Ojibwe, or Ojibwe, sure.
Yeah. Chippewa. My uncle has a very long descriptive phrase for Columbus.
You'll never guess what Anishinaabe means.
Means the people.
You got it, baby.
Yeah, absolutely.
First men.
Sure, first men. Anishinaabe. Maybe we'll have Anishinaabe Thursday one of these days. My uncle has a very long descriptive phrase for Columbus Day that includes systematic genocide of indigenous peoples from capitalistic imperialists. Okay. I don't think Indians hate Columbus, the historical figure, but what Columbus Day represents. The forced and violent conversion of native people to Catholicism, the exploitative behavior of the European colonists, the wars, the broken treaties, the BIA, and the catalog of other injustices that Indians in this country have faced and still continue to deal with. Most people believe that all Indians are rich off casinos and oil drills, but those reservations are few and far between. We covered that on an episode of Bull's Hit. It's very few of the Native Americans that make money from the casinos. It's a very lot of money and very
the
few
hands. The Massapequa Pequot?
Yeah.
Isn't that it?
Yeah. The ones named after Moby Dick. The difference between now and 20 years ago are that there are more Indian people with education and involved in reservation politics. As for the man, Christopher Columbus, his bravery and courage would be something that Indians would have admired. So there's a point of view on Columbus. We're getting a few people calling about Columbus, although nothing compared to if we announced Mammary Monday. I'm telling you that right now. Let's talk to Mike. What's up, Mike?
Yo, I'm actually, your history buff called in, and I was quite impressed with the Portugal thing. But the one thing that everybody seems to be overlooking is, first of all, I think it's pretty widely known that Columbus wasn't the first person to come here on a boat, and it was actually the Vikings. So what I propose to everybody out there is that we actually have a Leif Erikson Day,
mm-hmm.
and start it from there.
So you want to have a Leif? Well, see, the difference is, Teller writes about this very nicely, is that the Vikings stumbled upon the U.S., stumbled upon America.
Probably.
Right? Probably stumbled upon America. And Columbus was sailing. I guess he did stumble, too. He was going to the wrong place. But at least there were charts and a theory behind it, as opposed to the Vikings, who are closer to my people, just stumbling around at random. But you want a Viking Day here?
Absolutely. And they did actually also settle Iceland and Greenland, which is considered part of the New World as well, too.
Sure. Iceland and Greenland. Yeah.
But much later. I believe it was much later. Yeah. So.
But, I think before we honor them, we should be honoring the Vikings as well, too. You know, and they didn't rape and pillage and burn down villages and whatnot. So.
They didn't? The Vikings didn't rape and pillage?
Well, they may have. But
I think the Vikings were big on rape and pillage. I think that's a lot of them had tattoos on their arms that said Vikings rape and pillage. I think they were big on that.
Better celebration than the Columbus Day thing.
Yeah, sure. But if your point is that the celebration should include raping and pillaging, that's going to be a harder thing to sell, I think.
Well, maybe once a year on Columbus Day, everybody could just go rape and pillage and have a good time, you know?
Yeah, I don't think that everybody can rape and pillage because you require victims for that. And I think that's a big problem. That's why I think raping and pillaging has fallen out of fashion.
It should work like the watering schedule in Vegas. You should be in group A or B. And then we should have 2 days of celebration. And the A group rapes and pillages the B group and then the B group.
Boy, then you really want to be in the B group. That's one of those ones you want to go second. You know, you really want to go second. So you can have your dander up, be all set to go for the pillaging and the killing and the destruction. Is that all, Mike?
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks a lot.
There's some people here that claim that the Chinese discovered America.
There are a lot of people that claim that there was the...
Evidence seems a little scant. I've gone through their website, and when you click on evidence, it says, yes, send your evidence, too. So, okay. I thought you were going to give it to me, man.
I see, yeah. 866-570-PEN, 7366 is the phone number, penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. Just so you know, I want to get this in. We're going to have a Monkey Tuesday tomorrow. So be all ready to think a lot about monkeys. And one of these weeks coming up, we will have a Mammary Monday. Even though Monkey Tuesday does not have alliteration. But that's because the launch of Monkey Tuesday was so half-assed. We weren't really thinking in
was
terms
an accident.
Of radio. So we didn't really get a...
Columbus discovery. Sort of. We didn't set out to find Monkey Tuesday.
No, we didn't. We were more... We stumbled... See, if we set out to find it, it would be Monkey Monday. Mondays. We'd have the alliteration, but no, we're not going to have that. And then for Tuesday, we could have the Mammary Day and just use that cute little word that you're not allowed to say on the radio. No, we're talking about Mammaries now. He has no theme song. I have to talk to Jonesy this afternoon and see if he can have a Mammary Monday theme song.
It should be the same as Georgia the Jungle.
Boom, 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 boom. Yeah. Leif Garrett would be a better day than Leif Erikson. Yeah. let's talk to Devani, is that right?
Yeah, Devani.
Okay, how you doing, man?
Good, you?
Very well, thank you. Never better.
Hey, I just wanted to say Columbus wasn't really Italian. He was born in Korinos. It was a Greek Italian territory which was mainly Greek.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that a dispute? Where he was actually
it's a dispute,
from?
But if you go in depth into what they have about him, they note that most of his writing was in Greek. And why would you write it in anything other than your major main language? I mean, he was a linguist, but all of his main writings were in Greek. So it just leads you to believe that he either grew up or was born in the Greek territory.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that's right. They talk about on the Wikipedia article. He is commonly believed to be from Genoa, although his origins remain disputed. So,
okay, that's funny that you mentioned that Wikipedia part because I added that about a year ago, just as an experiment to see how far people will take it. I've logged all the changes, and I did that as part of my one of my writing papers for Rutgers University.
What did you do? What did you do? You put false
that
information.
That Greenough part. It's the little known but disputed theory that he was born in Greenough. That's why he knew Greek. That's why most of his writings were in Greek. But yet he also knew Spanish and Portuguese because he was raised he moved somewhere near there before.
You wrote that? You made it up and wrote it?
Well, I didn't make it up, really, because it has some credibility to it, but I did write it in intention to see how far people would take it, how long it would actually stay on the page.
Well, it's not there now. The Greek theory is not there now.
Oh, it's not there anymore?
No, it's gone. There's the Spanish theory, Genoese theory, and other theories. You might be under other theories. Let's look at
it should be like the very last paragraph under the language section.
Okay, I'm gonna go down there. Talk to Godot while I'm doing this here.
I want to point out that in 1964, Lyndon Johnson actually proclaimed October 9th Leif Erikson Day.
Okay, so we already got that.
We have a Leif Erikson Day.
Okay, it's already been done. it is here. It is here. The argument supported this theory states that Chios was under Genoese control at the time, was thus part of the Republic of Genoa. Okay, he kept his journal in Latin and Greek instead of Italian. So there you are. You're still in there.
Great.
But I mean, I don't understand how it's an experiment if you put up information that you believe was true. Isn't it then Wikipedia's experiment?
I believe it's true just by, Occam's razor. It's like the most simplest explanation I could come up with, which leads to the language he started writing in.
But it's not really pranking. What is your experiment for putting it on?
It was just to see how far people would go with something that has no backing. I didn't put any information as to which professors of language or research Columbus history have researched that or believe that. I just put that it's a theory, which is my own theory, but it doesn't have any official backing from any professors or anything that I know of.
But all the information that you give about his journals being in Greek are accurate. Is that correct?
As far as I know, yes.
Okay. But, I mean, as far as you know, you've done some research on this, so it's just not completely crazy, right?
Yeah, it's not completely crazy, which, as I say, it's most people will believe anything that has a hint of truth, which, it goes a long way. Mm-hmm. But it's not something that's been backed up or researched by someone that has a PhD or someone that has dedicated their life to researching things like that. I'm just a student at the moment. I'm not even in language anymore. I'm in networking now. But it's just something I use for a paper.
Oh, cool. That's a cool thing. Well, thanks a lot for calling.
No, thanks a lot, Pat. I love the show.
Thanks so much, man. Thanks so much. Let's talk to Logan. What's up, Logan?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Never better, boss. What's up?
I guess it depends on where you were raised. I guess I don't know. I'm in Georgia right now. Mm-hmm. I pretty much grew up here, lived here my entire life, practically. Mm-hmm. I mean, other than moving around for like 6 months at a time, but. I mean, I guess for Columbus, yeah, we touched on him in school and all this stuff, and I mean, it was fine, but, when it got to celebrating, Columbus Day, there was really nothing going on. There was really no information my family gave me or anything. It was just one of those days off from school or depending on the county you were in, you either got a day off or you were in school, and it was no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess for the first caller that called in and said he didn't really know what Italian was, I feel bad because I work for one. He's not really missing a whole lot.
You just called up to trash your boss. Thanks an awful lot, Logan. Logan just called up to trash his Italian Georgia boss. Tomorrow will be Monkey Tuesday. My name is Ben Gillette. I'm sitting here with Michael Godot. And one of these days, we're going to have a Mammary Monday. So if we get enough pictures sent in to inspire, we'll start it that way. Let's start it really cheesy, see what we can get here. If you want a Mammary Monday, inspire us. We'll be back tomorrow with Monkey Tuesday. Hey!